I'm going to plan to get through Acts chapter 2, verse 4 here on this lesson here and finish up with Acts chapter 1. But as a review of what we have done, the key verse here in Acts chapter 1 is verse 5 and verse 8. Those two verses go hand in hand, where Jesus is telling the apostles, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And then verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So, this is what he's telling these apostles and the 11 at this time. At that time. And then he's telling them that in this time frame, in not many days from now, well, that not many days was 10 days. So they had a week and a half to get ready. So everything that they did after this was to get ready for this Holy Spirit baptism. And they had no idea what that was going to do. This was just Jesus telling them, and so that they were to stay in Jerusalem and wait. And that's exactly what they did, except they prepared because they were incomplete. They were only 11 now due to the unfortunate circumstance of Judas betraying Jesus. That disqualified him right there from being an apostle. And so regardless, even if he had not committed suicide, he was still going to have to be replaced. Now, it was unfortunate that he killed himself, of course, because now he ends up going to his own place, the place that he deserved to go, whereas he could have gotten forgiveness from this, and he could have still worked in God's kingdom and been a productive member of God's kingdom, but he ended all of that. And did not allow himself redeeming availability for redemption. So, but now they've got to get whole again, a complete 12 instead of staying at the incomplete 11. So this is what they decided to do. They called a group of disciples together, and it was 120 that showed up. And there were the requirement is what we're about to cover here to see who all is eligible as a replacement for Judas. And so they're going to find that out of that 120, all there is two. And so those two are going to be proposed by the apostles and chosen, and they're going to cast lots, and then the lot fell on Matthias that we're about to read. And then they're full again, a whole being all 12, and then they don't know what they're waiting for. Jesus didn't tell them they're waiting for the day of Pentecost, but now they know that they're ready. They've done everything they can do. Now they're just waiting on the Lord. Baptism, the Holy Spirit comes with power on the day of Pentecost. Okay, any questions or comments on any of this so far? Okay, where we ended last week was Acts chapter 1, verse 20. So, Peter is speaking here, and he's speaking to this 120, because now they're having to get to determine eligible candidates to replace Judas. And he says, "For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office." And this obviously is from what Peter had said back in verse 16. "Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus." So, These words were spoken by the Holy Spirit through David 1,000 years before this time, 1,000 BC. But Peter is saying, even though that application had been used for 1,000 years for general, nonspecific reasons about anyone who was an enemy of a servant of God or had done harm to a servant of God, he's saying that this was specifically written about Jesus, about Judas here. And so this is what they are here to do, is replace his office. So verse 21. Therefore, of these men, who are these men? Well, these are the men that are in this group of 120. These replacement potentials who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord went in and out among us. And these are the requirements. So they had to have these 120 people. They're having to figure out who all is eligible that accompanied them, the apostles and the Lord Jesus, from the beginning of Jesus's baptism by John to the day when Jesus was taken up from us. And he was one of these. And so one of these 120 must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So that is the purpose, is to find the eligible candidates of the people out of this group of 120 disciples who had accompanied the apostles in Jesus from the time of Jesus' baptism by John to his resurrection. For the purpose of, then, this man will become a witness with the other 11 apostles of his resurrection. Okay. Any questions or comments on this? Verse 23. And so, they proposed too. Well, who are they? Obviously, this is the apostles. So, the apostles, and going back to the antecedent, to find the antecedent of this pronoun, is the previous sentence. One of these must become a witness with us apostles of his resurrection. And so they proposed too. And these are the apostles that did this proposing. And this whole chapter is about the apostles. That's who Jesus was talking to. And this is who they're having to get a replacement for, is a replacement apostle. So these 11 apostles proposed two candidates. So obviously, out of this 120, there were only two men that had gone with Jesus and the other 11 the 12 apostles from the time of Jesus' baptism to the time of his resurrection. Only two out of the 120. And so, their names were Joseph called Barsabbas, whose surname was Justus. So his name was Joseph Justus, and his dad's name was something like Abbas or Sabbas or something, because Bar means son of. But his name was Joseph Justus, and then the other man was Matthias. Okay, verse 24. And they prayed. This is the apostles doing the praying. So they proposed two men. And now the apostles are praying and said, "You, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place." Okay. So far, these apostles have done two things. They proposed, they prayed, and now, verse 26, and now the apostles cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, who are they? Well, obviously, it's the 12 apostles now, which is the 11 now with Matthias, because now Matthias is numbered with the 11. So, chapter 2, verse 1, immediately, and now we may or may not know, but whenever the Old and New Testaments were written, there were no chapter and verse divisions. That's been added centuries later. And so there was no division between this verse 26 and chapter 2, verse 1. So the actual text reads, "And he, Matthias, was numbered with the 11 apostles. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." These are the 12 apostles, not as many, I'm going to say it's more than some. Many have falsely claimed that it's the 120 that this is talking to and talking about, that they were all together with one accord in one place. No, this is the 12 apostles who are here at this place and time. That 120 were only assembled to be able to find a replacement candidate for Judas. So, here we are, 10 days after Jesus had ascended, and the apostles were all with one accord in one place on the day of Pentecost. In verse 2, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting," where the apostles were sitting. "Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them." So this is what Jesus had told them and promised them was going to come not many days from now, and they were going to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was going to come with power. This is what we're seeing, or what we're reading about here, and what they are witnessing and experiencing. It's a rushing, mighty wind, and now it's something that looks like divided tongues of fire sat upon each one of the 12 apostles. Verse 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." So, "And all of the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So, who are this miracle that is that these apostles are now performing, speaking in other tongues? What is this miracle? When Dad was going to be getting his education in the late 60s, early 70s. He went to Brown Trail School of Preaching in Fort Worth and Oklahoma Christian. And they were, every time this would come up, this was the debate and the discussion as, what was the miracle? Was it that the people that were hearing what the apostles were saying was in their own language, that the apostles were speaking in their normal native language, but everyone was hearing in their different languages? It would be like I'm speaking in English, but if there was a Chinese person in here, well, he was hearing my English. By the time it got to his ears, he was hearing it in Chinese. It's like an automatic translator that you see on Star Wars or Star Trek or something. But so that was one side, and unfortunately, that was the conclusion that they had come up with, and that Dad had received through his education, that that's what the miracle was. It was on the people's ears. Obviously, that is not what was happening, because these apostles were actually speaking the individual languages of the people. So each apostle was only speaking one language, and then these different groups that were there with all the different languages, one apostle was speaking a language that each one of these people with their dialects spoke in. So this miracle of speaking in tongues was because the apostles were actually speaking these languages that they had never learned, That was the miracle. So because the apostles began to speak with other tongues. It had nothing to do with the hearer. The hearer was hearing in their own language because that's exactly what the apostle was speaking to them. And with so many people from all the different various countries and lands that are coming up here in the verses 9 through 10 and 11, that obviously they probably got them segregated into individual groups, and each of these 12 were speaking in a different language so they could understand. And they say that it's even in our own dialect that we were speaking. So that that is the thought and explanation and answer as far as to what was the miracle. The miracle was actually the speaking of the language. The Holy Spirit gave each one of these apostles the own dialect of these foreigners, these devout Jews that have come from different countries, exactly what they spoke in their native tongue. Any questions or comments on any of this?